On with our sugyas in regarding simcha. So today's topic, hopefully will be an interesting one. I want to discuss today something which has bothered me for years, truthfully, that people who take Avodas Hashem seriously, meaning people who put in time and try to learn, like everyone here, if you're coming every day to an afternoon kollel, so that means you clearly take Avodas Hashem seriously. It sometimes you feel, you know, I feel this sometimes. I'm younger. I see boys feel this even when they're only in their teens or in their early 20s. And certainly people can feel this when they're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever it is, that you put in the time and you kind of want to feel very accomplished. You kind of want to feel that you've mastered this thing, the Torah, Yiddishkeit, however you want to define it. And you want to just be kind of like living a life of bliss, where everything is just happy and great because you've accomplished it all. And you're just an amazing person and you're the king of the world and you're fantastic. And you definitely want to feel that way because you put in the time. And yet it doesn't always work out that way. In Avodas Hashem, people who take it very seriously feel a certain, sometimes, often maybe even, but definitely sometimes, a certain degree of not being totally satisfied. I don't know if everyone, I assume everyone's felt that. I don't think I'm the odd man out here, but you know, when you put in the time and you still feel that there's so much more to do and I've been trying all these years, whatever it is, and still not, it's a little odd. We look at, we in our minds, we always assume that, you know, if we do what we're supposed to do, we're going to be forever in bliss. Right, and it's not quite like that. And I want to kind of understand if that makes sense, if that's true, if that is true, why that's not very strange. Meaning, we intuitively kind of feel that shouldn't be that way. Whereas we should be like just extremely satisfied and happy if we are doing things right. So, is something wrong with us? Is something wrong with the system? I mean, what's the deal over here? That's what I want to discuss. And I think it will hopefully be. Hopefully eye-opening to understand, to get into the crux of the matter, what we're trying to do. Are we trying to be in total bliss? And how do we get there if we are trying? That's what I'm going to try to discuss. So like I always do, I'm going to share my screen. And we're going to start reading some sources together. So hold on one second. Let's do a better job of this. How do I? Okay. So that's what I titled the shiur, The Simcha of Feeling Unsatisfied. Sounds a little odd. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I want to figure out, is there a simcha or is it the opposite of simcha to being unsatisfied? It sounds a little bit strange. So let's see the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim has a sefer called Shem Olam, where he promotes learning Torah, etc. Meaning it's not only in our day that people need that regular Yidden needed inspiration to try to put more time and to learn. Even in the day of a Chafetz Chaim, you know, so he wrote a sefer encouraging people, explaining deeper ideas, etc., etc. So he says the following: Shamati, let me enlarge it a little tiny bit. Shamati b'shem hagra. I heard in the name of the Vilna Gaon Zal. Hirush amasha amar David Amelech alav shalom, a famous pasuk. Right, so the David HaMelech says in Tehillim that I'm happy about the Torah, about Imersecha, about the Torah, Kamutzi Shalol Rav, just like someone who finds a fortune, someone who finds a huge amount of spoils, etc. So says the Gra, Deloshon Sason, the language of Sason, of that type of happiness, Balashon HaKodesh Munach Al Davar Shemigodol HaSimcha Noled Lo Toga, that when with this great joy Susson implies that there's joy, but there is a little bit also of grief. Toga is grief. So with the joy, there's also some grief. It sounds very weird that Susson Oichav HaMesecha, I'm happy about learning Torah, but with some grief? That's very odd. Says the Chavetz Chaim in the name of the Grah, David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, Ba'asher Shehu Hisig Yakar HaTorah Ve'orcha. Like, since David HaMelech saw the greatness of the Torah, he was David after all. So he experienced the heights of the Torah and the preciousness of the Torah. Ve'omar B'Tehillim, he said, HaNechmadim Mizav U'Mipaz Rav. He said that the Torah is more precious than gold, etc. David definitely understood the greatness of the Torah. Nevertheless, Hayasameach Ma'od Aleha U'Mamish Ka'adam Amotzi Shel Arav. Right, David HaMelech, when he with the Torah, it was like someone who found a whole pot of gold. I mean, it was incredible. Berega Zehu Motzi Tachshit. He'll find, you know, in one moment when learning the Torah, it's like he found a jewel. Sheshava Mea Dinar, and that's worth 100 dinar. Uva Rega Zen, and the next moment, Tachshit Sheshava Elif Dinarim. It's as if he found a jewel that's worth 1,000 dinarim. Hin Hu Mamish Belim in a Torah. It's the same exact thing with learning Torah. That's how David felt. B'chol Rega B'rega, Shehu Lomeid, every moment that he learned, Hu Mekayim Mitzvahs Aseh D'Oraisa. He was thinking, wow, another mitzvah. It's incredible. And that's what David HaMelech was thinking. Avur kol prat uprat yesh lamala oneg bifnei atzmo. And there's another chiddush. Every moment, you can just imagine, by a person as great as David HaMelech, every moment is just amazing. Ach, but migodel hasimcha, with as great as the simcha was, no lo toga. There's also a degree of grief. And as much as the simcha would enlarge it, and the more the simcha he had, still there was a little bit more grief. Why? Ba'asher shiyoda, shiyimei ha'odam hen katzarim. He realized, David HaMelech realized, that man does not live forever. Mankind, right? No individual lives forever. Our days are ktsarim, our days are short. And he thought, Mi tain sheucha lilmod v'lachtof bazeh ha'es alpayim pamim kazeh. Who will allow me to get all there is to get? I only hear for so long. I can't get everything I can. Ki halo yisha'er od harbe. There, no matter how hard I try, there's still so much more. V'harbe and there's so much more that's not going to be taken than that which is taken. So it's a kind of negative way of looking at life, but it's true. I know I felt that myself. I remember I was a little boy, probably, I don't even know, young, probably younger than 10 even. Maybe I was only 9 or 8 years old, I don't remember. And I remember once that my father, it was a big deal, I don't remember why, but I remember he decided one Sunday, which was definitely not, it was not a common occurrence, that he just decided to take me to like an arcade. I remember he decided to take me to an arcade, and it was like a boomers type of thing with like some mini golf and an arcade. And that was definitely not something my father usually did. We were, you know, my father's much more old school. That, you know, we had to, it wasn't like we went on a trip every Sunday. It wasn't like that. And I remember, and also arcades weren't his thing. He wasn't a big fan of arcades. You know, he wanted us to be more active, you know, actually go and, you know, play baseball on the street, that type of thing, rather than like arcades. It wasn't his thing. And I remember he took me to an arcade, and they always offer, you know, you pay $3, you get this many tokens, you pay $5, I remember he got a huge bucket of tokens. It was totally not like him. I must have done something. I guess I don't know what I did. But so I remember he got like a huge bucket of tokens, like you know, I don't know, I'm making this up, but $10, $20 of tokens, who knows? As a little kid, I was flabbergasted. And I remember, you would think I would be out of the time of my life. And somehow it was so good. It was so amazing. I remember feeling that my father brought me here, which was very much not what we were, how we were generally brought up. I don't know what I did. And I was so amazed by the event that I couldn't enjoy myself. Because the whole time I was thinking, wow, this is amazing, but it's going to end. It's going to be over. I'm going to, my tokens, I'm going to finish them. And I was trying to hold on to every last token and make sure that every token I spent properly. I remember it wasn't even enjoyable because I was so, I was like so taken aback by the sense of joy that I actually didn't enjoy myself all that much. It's a little odd, I guess, a little bit my personality maybe. So as I've gotten older, I've had that experience a number of times where something was so incredible that I was trying to hold on to the moment and I was kind of like frustrated that the moment wouldn't last forever. You know, my wife would always tell me, okay, so just enjoy the moment. but I would always think about, okay, but it's not going to be forever. I don't know. It's just how I think. So if we can feel that with silly tokens as an 8-year-old at a Boomers or whatever. So when we get a little older, we have to realize that as much as we might enjoy learning the Torah, we also know that there's no way this is gonna be over. And before I finish it, there's no way I'm going to be able to finish this whole thing. And there's therefore a little bit of frustration even. And it's not just by little people like myself, you know, I'm a nothing, but David HaMelech, meaning Chafetz Chaim is explaining in the name of the Gra that David HaMelech felt this way. And if the Chafetz Chaim is saying this, it must be the Chafetz Chaim understood this, the Gra felt this way, and David HaMelech felt this way. So hello, Davaru, that's very interesting. But that's also seemingly a little bit frustrating that so the system is set up in a way where as much as we learn, we're still going to be a little bit unsatisfied, a little bit in grief. It seemed a little bit odd, but that's what it seems. So let's go a little bit deeper and see why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have set up the world this way. Is it supposed to be this way? So there's a very interesting piece. His name was Rabbi Eliyahu. I think it's pronounced like Dushnitzer. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham at the beginning, or the beginning to mid, I guess, 1900s. I guess probably the middle 1900s. He was the Rebbe. He was one of the Rebbeim of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He was a Rav Dushnitzer was a Rav in Petach Tikva, right at the time of, you know, it's begin, you know, that time of Klal Yisrael, you know, I don't know if it was during the war, but for after the war, that time of Klal Yisrael. And he was actually one of the Rebbeim of Chaim Kanievsky, that today, the one of the biggest Talmid Chacham in the world. He was one of his Rebbeim. Also, he was Rav Shach's Rebbe also. I mean, again, one of their Rebbeim, but he was clearly a big person. He had a yeshiva in Petach Tikva. That used to be the, Petach Tikva was like one of the places that people, that was one of the main from areas before other places took off. So he says like this, Yesh ba'adam tshuka tami leida hachadasha. This is a fascinating, fascinating insight into mankind. Yesh ba'adam tshuka tami. We have an innate desire to know the news. Yesh ba'adam tshuka tami leida hachadasha me'aolam. Just to know the news. You know, today, especially, you know, everyone's thinking of the news. People are thinking about what's going on in politics right now. We have a desire to know the news. And it always was like that. We want to know what happened then, what happened then. We're just interested in like knowledge. Sometimes it really doesn't matter all that much. You know, put it this way. You know, I don't know how many people have checked the news today. You can find out tomorrow who won the elections and it will make absolutely no, it will make absolutely no impact probably, I assume, on life to find out today. But I can't imagine that, I assume most people aren't going to wait. I don't know if they'll know the elections by tomorrow. We'll find out. But people aren't going to be waiting. They people want to know. We have a desire to know things, even things that happened in yesteryear. What's going on with his friend, even not just in the world news, but what's going on with my friend? But the Rambam calls this chilek nimas. It's kind of the word means disgusting. Meaning, my understanding of that, the Rambam is saying, There's very little, it doesn't matter that much. Again, it happens to be okay with politics. Sometimes it matters, often not, you know. But for sure in like another country or in what happened 10 years ago in a different country. Again, obviously there are points that do have a nafkamina, do matter. But many times we're just interested in things That's just how we are. We're just curious. Mankind is curious. If we're honest with ourselves, it's not always that important. Yet we are interested. So HaChavetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik B'Kadosh Levracha. So says Rav Doshnitzer the saying that he heard from the HaChavetz Chaim. He was actually a Talmud of the HaChavetz Chaim. Omer, he would say, Shemei'ayin yesh ba'adam be'emes midas chukazu. Where did mankind get this from? I mean, why do we have this desire? I understand the desire for other certain things, but why do we have a desire to know everything under the sun? Who cares? Why do we have that desire? Ella, rather, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu hitbia ba'adam chukazu avur yediyas haTorah. That is fascinating. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this desire so that we will want to know more and more and more and more and more of things that actually matter, of Torah. So you'll have a deep desire to know as much as you possibly can. I always say this, that people, I'm going to make a little bit of a side point here, but it's so very important. I tell people that I'm a Rebbe myself, and part of what I have to do is I teach and I try to inspire people to learn more. And I tell people that people say, oh, my kids aren't interested in learning. I said, you realize that you did that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do that. Meaning when people are made, any healthy individual, we're made when the time we're 1, 2, 3 years old, we want to learn things. If we didn't want to learn things, we wouldn't learn how to talk. We wouldn't learn how to go to the bathroom. We wouldn't learn how to anything. We want to learn. That's how, again, any healthy human being, when we're born, we have a desire to learn. And that's why kids are constantly trying to walk and little children, and they're tripping and they're hurting themselves when they're trying, and they try to talk and they're making mistakes because they really want to learn. It's not just about talking and going to the bathroom walking. When they're young, they really want to learn Torah. They want to learn how to read anything. They want to learn. What happens is that we might then make them more jaded, and we might not give them the proper chinuch and then not let them. But in essence, human beings want to learn. So says Rav Deschnitzer, from the Chafetz Chaim, that human beings want that. We want to know everything. Mikra, Mishnah, Ugmara, Bechule. We want to know Tanakh. We want to know Mishnayis, Gemara, everything. Ella, Shehayetzer hara natal midazu lihishtamesh ba b'inyanei hevel olam hazeh. So why don't we taka spend all our time doing that? He says because the Yetzer hara takes that mida, that desire to know, and uses it for something that has really very little value. Ukedarko shel Yetzer hara b'shar tchuna shenivru l'tzorech gavoah. This is a fantastic, very, 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 very fundamental point, which I assume many of you have thought about already, that the Yetzer Hara, I'll give examples. What is the most, one of the, you know, let's say for, you know, someone, especially, you know, younger people, whatever, one of the most difficult Yetzer Haras that people have is usually for the opposite gender and things like that. There's trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars spent in the world on Gilui Arayos. I mean, there's advertisements and movies, and there's trillions of dollars spent on Gilui Arayos, on promiscuity. Trillions. Where does that come from? What it comes from, my Rebbe once pointed out to me, it comes from the desire, in the most real sense, it comes from the desire to have a family. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in us a desire too. It's really a Gemara. The Gemara says that when Chazal said to take away the Yetzer Hara of Arayos, well, then people weren't having children. Meaning, but the desire itself is a very important one. The desire is that makes us get married and have children, have families, etc. But when used improperly, it's used for all the most terrible things in the world. So the same thing over here. The desire to know is a very, very, very fundamental part of a human being. It allows children to learn how to walk, talk, read, etc. And then it allows older people to learn how to learn Tanakh, Mishnayos, Gemara, Halachos, everything. But that same desire can use also to know things which are really you know, easier. It's much easier to read the news than it is to read a black Gemara. So people desire, therefore use their time to read the news rather than the black Gemara. He then continues on. Ukmo came mevarim mefarish misakasuv b'koheles ohev kesef lo yisba kesef. So there's a pasuk in Koheles that someone who loves, who wants money, he'll never be satiated with money. It will never satiate him. I've never met a person said, or very often not, I actually have. There's a friend of mine, he has a business, and he said, why don't you expand? He said, I'm living just fine. I there's no reason to expand. If I expand, it'll just cause me to have to work much harder, be home less with my children. I won't be able to learn as much. I'm happy making the modest salary that I make, and I'm good to go. Most people, unfortunately, aren't like that. And most people, they want money. They want more money, more money, more money, more money. There's no end. That's what the pasuk says. Oh, this is Shlomo Melech talking. Oh, if kesef lo yisba kesef. Me'ayin shorash tchunazu. Again, where is that desire coming from? That you always just want more and more and more money. Where's it coming from? U'mavayim gamkim shebashorash tviya. V'hishrish HaKadosh Baruch Hu avur yediyas toresenu hakdosha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this in us again for the sake of Torah. Shekama shiyya ashir b'yadiyos. As much as we are rich in our knowledge of Torah, v'chol zoz yargish miut erko. Still, we're going to feel that we're lacking. V'yigbar k'miyaso lohosif ad ein gvul. Mashakasuk v'medrish. Then the Medrash says, it's an amazing, amazing chazal. Ohev Torah lo yisfa Torah. Meaning it's the same, it's a chazal. Chazal's talking. They're saying that just like most people in the world, they feel this endless desire for money. So Talmidei Chachamim or Yidin who run with their soul, they're ohev Torah l'yisba Torah. They'll never be satiated from Torah. They'll feel that same exact desire when it comes to Limud HaTorah. Ela shebezeh gam ken yitzhar not l'tov aso. Again, the Yitzhar gets involved. So it's the same desire. It's either I want money, 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 and they're, most people do not have any end in sight to how much money they want, or Ohiv Torah Yisba Torah. He'll never be satiated from Torah. So what's going on here is that it's not that we're correct. We're onto something. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka made the world in a way where we have this insatiable desire for Torah. Hence, as much as we accomplish, we're going to feel not satisfied. By definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us not to feel satisfied, to continue. No, as much as you did, you still want more and more and more and more and more. The same way that many people in the world just want more and more and more news, they want more and more and more money. We want more and more and more Torah. And you can use it in a negative fashion by just going after other things. But you can use it in a positive fashion of wanting more and more and more Torah. But then by definition, it's strange. Then we'll never be satisfied. So I now understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. But isn't that still odd? Meaning, in the end of the day, we're going to live unsatisfied lives. That's not a fun place to be. So let's dig a little bit deeper. So the Joshua, the Chassam Sofer, The Chassam Sofer just develops the same idea. I'm going to skip over most of it. Most of it's a very similar point. He says again that people in Torah, someone who really cares about Torah will not feel satisfied when it comes to Torah. That's why he says that there's no tov lev. It's like feeling of like just complete satisfaction when it comes to Torah. Because you always are frustrated and want more. I know myself. I feel this all the time. That I'll learn something and I'll understand it, but I can sense that I'm missing. I'm still missing, and I don't understand it fully. And whatever it is, that's like the nature of the beast. Amnam says the Chassam Sofer at the end of this piece. Amnam, hashotim, the fools, says the Chassam Sofer, mahapchin haseder. They turn it on its head. V'libam sameach betava sa'olam. Their lave, their heart is happy with things in the world which are really, really not very important. Tava sa'olam azeh. B'divrei hevel narus yaldus v'shachrus. Childish thing, narish stuff. V'enam mistapkim, v'enam meitiv libo bezeh. They're not happy with Torah. They're happy with mamish narishkeit. That's why it's called narish. Uve esaka Torah, but with things that have to do with Torah, v'amitzvos, mitiv livu mistapek b'muat. They're happy with that. Meaning that you have, again, let's go back to literally a school child. The school child is only so much a school child can handle. So if you give a school child, a little child, an eight-year-old, right? So an eight-year-old, you get him to learn for 45 minutes. That is amazing. I mean, because there's only so much he can sit. And then you let him have recess. He can be at recess for the next 6 hours. He's good. Just more recess. He'll never get tired of it. Whereas 45 minutes of learning Chumash, he needs a break. Like, it's enough. He needs to run around. That's normal. He's only 7 years old. That's completely normal. So he won't get satisfied from recess. I've never heard a child say we had too much recess today, but I will hear a child say, so annoying. We lost our recess and we had to be in class for longer, right? That makes sense. He's only seven. But so says the Chasam Sofer that the degree that we remain like a seven-year-old, we actually will be satisfied in Torah and not in other things. But he's saying then you're a seven-year-old. So again, the Chasam Sofer is going further with the same idea that the ideal of Torah is actually not to be satisfied. That's what he's saying. The ideal is not to be satisfied. If you are satisfied with how much you learn, that's a problem. That means that you're, how can you be satisfied? How could you be totally comfortable with the amount you learn? It's endless. How could you be satisfied with it? So he's just going further with that same idea. But again, we have to ask the same question. That seems like a very frustrating existence that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us then. Meaning, the ideal is to be not satisfied. It comes out a little bit frustrating. So let's again dig a little bit deeper. So I want to point out a very famous Mishnah for one moment. People point to Ezra Ashira Sameach Bechelko. And I've heard people try to say that, so you see, you're supposed to be happy with what you have, and that's it. That's not what it says. It says, who's rich? Someone who's happy with what they have. It doesn't say, who is happy? Someone who's happy with what they have. Meaning, you're considered wealthy if you feel that you have whatever you need, you're wealthy. That's true, because you're not lacking anything. So in terms of wealth, once you feel that you're not lacking anything, that's it, you're wealthy. But in terms of simcha, I don't know that that's the ultimate simcha. The Mishnah doesn't say that. Let's try to figure out what the ultimate simcha is. So there's another sefer called Midarkei Noam. Let's see this, a fascinating piece. Yismach lev mevakshei Hashem. So the pasuk in Tehillim says, Yismach lev mevakshei Hashem, meaning those who are on a quest for Hashem, they're happy. So he basically asks our question. Misha mevakesh Hashem, someone who desires God, yesh lo simcha, he'll be happy. But Alzayish Litmoa, it doesn't make any sense. What's going on over here? We never think about this. It's like, yeah, you want Hashem, be happy. But no, think about it. That doesn't make any sense. Dihine Misha Chaserlo, if you feel that you're lacking, so then Misha Chaserlo, someone who feels like he's lacking, Mevakesh Kedei Lamali Chisrono. That's why he's Mevakesh. By meaning that you desire Hashem, meaning that you feel that you're lacking something. So imkein. So if so, hich magia simcha mevakish. So then, why are you happy? Right. The whole point. If you're not satisfied, right, you're chaser. That's why you're still searching. If you're still searching, doesn't that mean that by definition you're not happy because you're lacking? That's basically our question. Harei hu b'hargashus chisaron. He's feeling lacking. So he explains habir bezeh. The explanation of this is as follows: shemisha mevakish Hashem. Someone who desires HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wants Hashem, harei hu b'shleimus muchletes. He's complete. That seems very odd. If you're lacking, you're complete. Okay, that needs explanation. What does that mean? If you're lacking, if you feel a lacking, then you're complete. Obviously, something is very odd here, but at least what he's doing is he's answering the question. He's saying, no, you're actually complete, and therefore you actually are happy. That's happiness. But that doesn't make any sense because you're lacking. So let's figure out what in the world is going on. Says the Rambam, I love, this is, I think, I'm pretty sure I say this all the time to my Talmidim, this is my favorite Rambam in all of Rambam. Says the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tshuva, Ha'ove me'ava, someone who serves Hashem from love, malezu he male gedolim od. It's a tremendous level to be on, to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu for real and do everything out of love. The inkol chacham zochela, and everyone gets there. The he malas Avram Avinu shakaro Kadosh Baruch Hu ovo. Avram Avinu got there. Lefi shelo ovet el me'ava, because he serves a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of love. Okay, so what's this love? It sounds very good. What is this? The ketzid hi'ava haruya. So what is this love that's so great? Hu sheyav es Hashem, ava gedola yisera aza ma'od. That's a lot of ma'od, basically. He loves Hashem a lot, very much, strong, a lot. Meaning, it's, okay. Ad shetehe nafsho kshura ba'ava es Hashem. Until his soul is tied with the love of Hashem. The nimsa. So what is this? These are his words. Okay, he loves very much. What's it? Tachlis. What's he saying? The nimsa. The nimsa shogah batamid. He's always thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ilu chola choli ahava. Like he's sick. He's love struck. That's what he says. The term love struck. It goes all the way back to the time of the Rambam. Right? Love sick. It's mamish what the Rambam just said. He's chola choli ahava. He's love struck. He's love sick. It's like when you're in love with a girl and you can't stop thinking about her. Who shogah b'tamid? He's always thinking about her all the time. Bein b'shabbos, bein b'shifta, whether he's resting, bein b'kuma, whether he's getting up, bein b'shashu ocha b'shose, when he's eating and drinking, everything, he's always thinking about this girl. Yes, or mizah, even more than that, tia avas Hashem b'lev o avav, the love of Hashem in the heart of those who love him. Shogim b'tamid, always thinking about it. K'moshe sivan b'chol v'avcha b'chol nafshecha. Uvahu sh'shlomo melech, Shlomo amar derech mashal, ki cholas ava ani. So it goes even further. It's the time of Shlomo. Shlomo said it's he's love struck. B'chol shir hashirim mashal hila inyan zeh. And all of shir hashirim is a mashal for this. Because the shir hashirim is a love between a Klai Yisrael and Hashem, which is a love song between, or a love story between, or a poem, whatever, between a man and a woman, meaning that's a mashal. So you see that the love between a man and a woman is like love between a person and a Hashem. I have one very strong kasha. This bothered me for years, and Baruch Hashem was able to figure out a very good teretz when I had to speak for my brother's chasana. I was very, 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 very bothered by this Rambam because it made absolutely no sense. Because what kind of person is always crazy about some girl, crazy about her, love struck, can't stop thinking about her. He eats thinking about her, sleeps thinking about her, drinks thinking about her. What kind of person is like that? Someone who's dating, someone who's engaged, maybe the first year of marriage, someone who has a very good relationship with their wife and is married for 30 years, 40 years. They're not like that anymore. But that's not a bad thing. Again, if they have a very good relationship, it's not a bad thing. It's that they're not 20 anymore. They're not gonna bungee jump over some crazy in order to like give her flowers. It's a more mature love at that point. Meaning they care about their wife. They'll do anything for their wife. They'll care about her. They'll work hard for her. They know what bothers her, and they won't do those things that bother her, etc. Love means a real love is a responsibility, a caring for a spouse. The Rambam, what he's talking about here, it's like an immature love. It's what happens with a 20-year-old when he's dating, you know, when he's like engaged. He's love struck for this girl. That's not a mature love. So I didn't understand. Why is the Rambam telling us that you're supposed to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu like a, you know, like a yeshiva bacher dating his future wife? It didn't make any sense to me. Why is that the ideal? And I realized the following. With a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can never completely marry a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're always dating Hashem. It's unbelievable. With a wife, you date, then you get married, and you build a relationship together, and you build a relationship, and you're very close. With a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as close as you get, you're also infinitely far, by definition. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So by definition, you're infinitely far from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, you're also getting closer and closer, ironically, but you're also infinitely far. So we're always dating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the most, when I had that epiphany, it was a life changer. Because then I realized I'm trying to continue the dating process with him. I'm trying to get closer and closer and closer to an infinite being. That's what I'm trying to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, yet, and when a boy and girl are dating, they are very much besimcha. They're very happy. And they're completely love struck. And they're all, why? Because there's like this excitement, yet they're lacking. What are they lacking? They're lacking marriage, meaning they're lacking most of life. They're lacking the whole reason why they're love struck in the first place. They're not there yet. Right now they're still dating. But they enjoy that experience of getting closer and closer and closer and closer. That experience, it's invigorating. That's what they're feeling. Says the Rambam, that's the ideal when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's all you can get. He's infinite. So all you can do is date him forever. You're going to date HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever. And always feel you're getting closer and closer. Hence, what I'm saying here is that the feeling of lacking is actually one of the greatest feelings in the world. Because it's a feeling of lacking that I'm always growing. If someone feels that way. If someone realizes, if someone allows the lacking to just be frustrating, then it's frustrating. But if someone realizes, no, I'm lacking, it's because this thing is infinite. That is amazing because I can be in this forever. And it's basically a matter of perspective. Is the perspective of frustration that I'm never getting to the touchdown? Or is this amazing feeling that I'm always in this invigorating state of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's completely a mindset. So basically, yes, there's a certain amount of grief involved in learning Torah because you can never accomplish it. But that very grief is also the greatest simcha. If someone has that mindset. Again, I hope I was clear because that's a very, very deep point. So we're almost out of time here. I want to point out there's really a few more pieces that we really should do here, but I'll just tell you outside what they say. So this, the Shalom Menachem is a sefer on Erchin. He points out that when someone's in the moment, right? If someone is in a moment of, I gave a story before, I was in the moment of boomers and I wasn't so happy because I was focused too much on the future. But if I was not focused on the future and I focused just on now, I would have been very happy. So when someone's learning, when you're involved in learning Torah, you're not thinking about all the things that you don't know right now. Right now you're involved in what you're doing. You're involved in this. I'm trying to figure out, what does this mean? What is this point that's being made right now? I'm all into this point. When you're in that point, what does this kasha mean? What is this teretz? When you're in that, the frustration part is not there. Then what you're doing is you're completely in this date and you're not thinking about the fact that the marriage will never completely happen. I'm always enjoying the dating itself. So again, it's a mindset. If the mindset is, I'm going to enjoy this moment of Torah, then this is fantastic. So when you're in that moment, you're drunk on that moment. And with Torah, you have the ability to be drunk on that moment forever because it's infinite. So the Flaw points out that it's basically the two can go hand in hand. That you could feel the enjoyment of the moment, and also be satisfied by the fact that I'm enjoying this moment. So again, I'm going to just wrap up here. I hope I was clear. We started by saying that there's an inherent dissatisfaction or unsatisfaction in the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, that we can never attain everything. And we want to attain everything. Then we said that, yes, but Hashem made the world that way. Hashem made the world in a way that we want. Hashem wants us to always trying to get more. But then we asked, but then Hashem's putting us in a situation where we're by definition going to be unsatisfied. And then the answer that we gave is no, it's only unsatisfied. It's only not satisfying as much as we allow it to be not satisfying. once we realize that we're dating and our job is to date HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever, once we realize that point, there's nothing more invigorating than a bacher and a kala dating each. That moment, those moments of engagement, that is so invigorating as long as they focus on the fact that they're dating and they're getting close to each other. If they're focusing on, oh, but we're not married yet. Oh, and it's so annoying. Why do we have to wait until the marriage? Then they're going to be frustrated. But if they're just enjoying right now, you know what? There's nothing more invigorating. So basically, when we are in the moment of learning Torah, if we're focusing on the frustration, then we'll be frustrated. But if you focus on that moment and get drunk on that moment, on this moment, and now the next moment, I'm still dating a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm still dating a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then the fact that Hashem set up the world in a way that it's impossible to beat the game is infinite, there's no greater simcha than that. Because you are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally forever. And you're always dating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes down to a mindset. Okay, I hope that was clear. When I speak, it's a little philosophical, but I hope the ideas are worth mentioning. I'm always happy if anyone, if anyone has any questions, I'm happy with questions. Anyone can always send a question in the chat. I will also just, you can ask the question too. You can unmute yourself at any point, but also I'm going to give you my email. If anyone ever has any questions they want to ask or discuss, I'm happy to answer, etc. Okay, very good. I'm looking forward to next week. Okay, kol tov.